Why did Hansi Flick lock his Barcelona players in the dressing room?
After Rayo Vallecano, he locked his players into the dressing room to let them know they must work as a unit if they want to stand a chance to win trophies.
What's happened to Lyon? They're supposed to be a crisis club, but they're second in Ligue 1.
The difficulties that they experienced has helped to create a kind of us-against-them mentality.
And we'll be looking ahead to the night's international games, including Spain's clash with Bulgaria.
Europe watch out, and the world be warned. This could be the most rounded Spain since the golden generation.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh, and welcome to Route 1, your daily digest of news from around the world. It's football, fast, no faff. Let's go Route 1. For the excitement over the weekend, did anyone see that Barcelona had another close shave in La Liga? Just a week after they had to fight back from two goals down to win 3-2 against Levante, they were held to a 1-1 draw by Rayo Vallecano. And to be honest, that doesn't even tell the whole story. Barcelona were indebted to their new goalkeeper, Joan Garcia, for a string of world-class saves. Well, after the game, it emerged that manager Hansi Flick had locked the players in the dressing room for a serious dressing down. How did that news emerge? Through the journalism of The Athletic's Pol Baluz, of course. Pol, is there a problem at Barca?
It's just the start of the season, and it's not been a horrible start for the Catalans. They've made 7 points out of nine so far. But Hansi Flick realised something was not going as well as he wanted to in those initial games. After an outstanding performance last term, Barcelona started this campaign with high expectations. They are not just among the biggest favourites in La Liga, but in the Champions League too. That might come with a price to pay, though, because Flick saw some of his players not doing the off-the-ball work that they used to put last season. So, after Rayo Vallecano, he locked his players into the dressing room to let them know they must work as a unit if they want to stand a chance to win trophies. Straight after, Flick went to the post-match press conference and sent the same message. "Egos kill success," the manager literally said. Now we are on an international break. Barca players have no domestic match to respond until next week, and that's created a lot of noise in local media around Barcelona's individualities. In the same time, the players will have a long time to reflect on what the manager said and really try to prove a point in the next La Liga game against Valencia. Dressing room sources believe this was a well-thought strategy from Flick to make his words linger a bit longer among the players. But what's clear is that man management and the handling of the expectations will be one of Flick's major tasks this season at Barcelona.
And you can read more of Pol over at The Athletic. If you go to theathletic.com, you'll almost certainly find a special offer. It's the international break, so we're taking the opportunity to bound around Europe looking for interesting stories, and there are few more interesting than the one currently unfolding in France. Paris Saint-Germain are top, with 3 wins from 3, of course they are, but they are not alone. Lyon, the go-to crisis club of European football, are right up there with them after wins over Lens, Metz and Marseille. How much of a crisis club were they? Well, when I was at The Athletic, we did 2 separate crisis club podcasts on them. Check out The Athletic FC, by the way, it's really good. Anyway, Tom Williams, author of brilliant French football book Va Va Voom, what's going on at Lyon?
Lyon were very much in the doldrums a few weeks ago. We thought they were about to drop down to Ligue 2. They managed to avoid that. And the turnaround since then has been pretty impressive. I think the difficulties that they experienced has helped to create a kind of us against them mentality. There was a lot of talk about how positive the team spirit was during their pre-season training camp in Austria. They found some pretty decent form in pre-season. I think having had to offload so many players has in a way made it easier for Paulo Fonseca, the head coach, to identify his first choice starting 11. They've carried that pre-season form into the Ligue 1 campaign. 3 wins, no goals conceded, and a pretty impressive 1-0 win over Marseille in their last game before the international break. They've lost an awful lot of players, inevitably, because of the financial problems that almost dragged the club down to Ligue 2. But they have been able to recruit. Tyler Morton, central midfielder, has come in from Liverpool, immediately slotted in the central midfield and looks at home already. A couple of Czech internationals, Pavel Schulk and Adam Karabek, who've made decent contributions as well. The youth production line remains as productive as ever. Kallis Merah, 18-year-old midfielder, the latest player to emerge from the Lyon Academy. So there are positive things happening. In spite of that, these financial issues remain. Lyon were forced to sell Georges Mikotadze, their only real centre-forward, to Villarreal on transfer deadline day. And Michael Gerlinger, who is the Lyon managing director, gave a press conference yesterday in which he said that these problems were going to be hanging over their heads for at least the next 3 years. So they are some way short of being out of the woods, but a positive start to the season, an unexpectedly positive start to the season nonetheless.
You can, and indeed you should, buy VavaVoom. It's excellent, and I've stuck a link in the episode description. A whole host of Premier League players have been left out of their respective teams' Champions and Europa League squads because of a combination of injuries and restrictions due to insufficient homegrown players. Players to miss out include Liverpool's Federico Chiesa, Arsenal's Gabriel Jesus, Tottenham's Matthias Tell, Nottingham Forest's record signing Omari Hutchinson, and rather cruelly, Chelsea's Facundo Buonanotte, who literally said, "I'll get the opportunity to play in the Champions League for the first time," in his announcement video 2 days ago. And in news that absolutely will not make any of them feel any better, it has emerged that Arsenal and Year 11 attacking midfielder Max Dalman will be taking time out of his GCSE revision to play in Europe because he actually did make the Gunners squad. Stream East, the world's largest illegal sports streaming platform, has been shut down following a year-long investigation in America. Stream East's 136 million monthly users now face the prospect of accepting their fate or simply moving on to the next site in the whack-a-mole realm of sports piracy. In separate but ultimately related US-based sports watching news, FIFA have announced they'll use dynamic pricing at the 2026 World Cup, because of course they will. Prices will therefore range from £44 a ticket to £5,670 a ticket, so better hope demand remains low, eh? Peterborough's Tyler Young has signed for Ipswich, a story that might not make the cut even for an International Week nib section, were it not for the fact that he'll be joining his dad, Ashley Young, who signed for the Tractor Boys earlier this summer. You may recall that last season, posh manager Darren Ferguson refused to sub Tyler on during a clash with Everton in the FA Cup, thus denying the Youngs the chance to become the first father and son opponents in Cup history. But if you can't get sent on to beat them, join them. That's literally what young Tyler's done. It's the international break, and look, you can either sit and whine about it or you can embrace it, and we've chosen to do the latter. Trouble is, of course, none of us can remember what was going on, who's playing who, or why any of this is happening. It's international football amnesia. It's a real thing. Look it up. Fortunately, we're here to help. It's World Cup qualifying, of course, but the state of play is, well, a bit of a state. Because of Nations League commitments, 6 of the 12 European groups haven't started yet. 6 of them started ages ago, but not everyone's played the same number of games. It's all a bit of a mess. However, Germany kick off Group A tonight with arguably their toughest game, a trip to Slovakia. Only 4 teams are in that group, so Germany have to finish top to qualify. Second place finishers will go into some rather complicated looking playoffs. But Germany also play Northern Ireland and Luxembourg, so Julian Nagelsmann's men should be okay. Group E is of a similar state, but it's going to be far more interesting because it pitches Spain against Bulgaria tonight, and then they'll also face Turkey and Georgia. At least 2 of these 4 fine nations will not go to the World Cup. So, what sort of shape are Spain in? Fergal Brennan's been keeping a very close eye on them.
2 tough games on the horizon for Spain, but for me, they look in a very, very strong position. They're in a good place on the back of a very impressive 12 months. Obviously, current defending champions of Europe after beating England. Sorry, England fans. The Nations League final defeat to Portugal, I don't think will really cause too much concern. It's one of those competitions that when you're in the final series, if you win, it's great. If you lose, it doesn't really have a huge amount of bearing. In terms of the team, the base is still there in place, and they've got some big returns with Dani Carvajal and Rodri both back fit. Carvajal, you'd imagine, will come straight back in. Rodri, I think, will be eased back into it. He's made a few comments about his own fitness and his own readiness to perform at the highest level. The biggest call probably comes in central defence. defence. Dean Howson has forced himself into the starting lineup. He will start these two games against Bulgaria and Turkey. Whether or not Luis De La Fuente partners him with Pau Cubarsí is a big decision. Two very young men at the start of their careers. They'll be Spain's defensive pairing for the next decade, but whether or not he risks the two of them together in these two games away from home will be a big ask. Fortunately, he's got plenty of experience around them. Danny Vivian, Robin Lenormand can step in if he needs a bit more grit and a bit more experience. And then at the other end of the pitch, Alvaro Morata is back, forgiven from that penalty miss against Portugal. He'll lead the line. He'll wear the captain's armband, and either side of him, the two-star boys who can do no wrong, Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams. Europe watch out and the world be warned. This could be the most rounded Spain since the golden generation.
Group G is already underway. Finland are the surprise leaders there, but the Netherlands will go top if they beat Poland tonight. Ronald Koeman's side are two wins from two. Poland have also won two, but they lost to Finland, so they find themselves under pressure already. But Group J is really interesting. Wales have made the long trip to Kazakhstan. A win there would put Craig Bellamy's side top. That's being played as I speak. Chris is watching it in the writer's room. Chris, what's the score?
1-0 Wales.
1-0 Wales. There you go. Now, Wales were, of course, beaten by rivals Belgium in that epic clash in June. They were 3-0 down. They recovered to 3-3. And then Kevin De Bruyne scored a late winner. Belgium, however, have dropped points to surprise leaders North Macedonia, and at least one of those three will fail to qualify. If you want to watch any of that, and you'll have to be pretty quick, the Wales one, the Wales and Northern Ireland games are on BBC iPlayer, Amazon Prime have got the big European games, and you can also find lots of African World Cup qualifying ties on FIFA Plus. That was Route 1. It's Football Fast, No Faff. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your producer was Helena Fremantle. Chris Smith was in the writer's room. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then.